Chapter 25. I readied my spell, terrified that I was already too late, terrified that I made a critical mistake, terrified that more innocents were about to face hideous agony and death. That was how it had to be. If I wanted to lure the phages from their rampage by directing them after a richer source of fear, it had to come from somewhere. Specifically, it had to come from me. If I'd tried to use falsified emotion, it would no more have worked on them than an attempt to make a gorilla interested in a plastic banana. The fear had to be genuine. Of course, I hadn't really planned on being quite this afraid. Being taken off my guard and handed a time limit had added an edge of panicked hysteria to the ample anxiety I already had. The spell coalesced, and time came to an abrupt stop. In that illusory stasis, my senses were on fire. The presence of the dangerous entities now entering the material world rippled through my detection web, a jittery, fluttering sensation. The energy of the spell burned like an invisible star before my outstretched hands, and my terror rushed into it and fused with the spell. Streamers from the lure whipped out along the lines of power that constituted my detection web, brushing lightly at the entities, attracting their attention, giving them a whiff of rich sustenance. And somewhere, in the middle of all that, I felt a single, quiet, quivering pulse, a living presence that could only be the phage's summoner and beacon. "Gotcha," I hissed, and with an effort of will, broke the circle and sent the spell winging toward him. Time resumed its course. The energy that powered the spell fled out of me in another rush and left me lying on my side, struggling to draw in enough breath. I could feel the spell sizzling down the lines of power for the summoner, and a heartbeat later there was a sense of impact as the spell went home. As it happened, the entities my web touched went abruptly still, the web ceasing its trembling, and then they all surged forward into sudden motion, vanishing from the web and presumably streaking after the lure. All but one. A breath or two after the entities had departed, my web trembled again, now growing more agitated, its motion a kind of subliminal pressure against my thoughts. I had missed one. My spell had gotten out in time to draw away the others, but either my web had failed me at some point, or the remaining phage had been quicker on the draw than its buddies from the Never Never. I could feel it moving from the hotel's kitchens toward the convention halls. I wanted to curl into a fetal position and go into a coma. Instead, I shoved my wobbly way to my feet, took up my pack, and opened the drawer to get Bob.
"Did it work?" he chirped.
"Almost," I said. "There's one left. Keep your head down."
"Oh, very funny," he began.
I zipped the skull into my pack, took up my staff and blasting rod, and shuffled wheezily out to find the remaining phage before it found someone else. My legs almost gave out just thinking about taking the stairs, so I rode the elevator down to the first floor. I heard nothing until the floor indicator told me we'd just passed the second floor, at which point I began to hear frightened, muffled screams. The elevator hit the first floor, and the doors had just begun to roll open when the power went out. Blackness fell over the hotel. The screams redoubled. I took out my pentacle amulet and sent enough of my will into it to make it glow with pale blue wizard's light. I jammed my staff into the slightly open elevator doors and levered them apart, then slipped out into the hotel. Though the sun had set more than an hour before, the crowded convention hall had remained stuffy while its air conditioners labored in vain. I got my bearings and headed for the kitchen. As I did, the air temperature plummeted, sending the hotel's climate from near sauna to near freezing in a handful of seconds. The suddenly cooled air could no longer contain the oppressive humidity it had been holding, and this resulted in a sudden thick fog that coalesced out of nowhere and cut visibility down to maybe 3 or 4 long steps. Damn it.
The phages that had appeared so far seemed to be specialists in the up-close-and-personal venue of violence, whereas wheezy wizards like me prefer to do business from across the street, or down the block, or maybe from a neighboring dimension. Farther away, if possible. Wizards have a capacity for recovering from injury that might be more than most humans, but that was a long-term deal. In a bar fight, it wasn't going to do me any good. Hell, I didn't even have my duster with me. And now that the cold had rolled over the hotel, I missed it for multiple reasons. I put my amulet back on, then shook out my shield bracelet and readied it for use, creating a second source of glowing blue light, though by accident, not design. The silver bracelet I used to focus magic into a tangible plane of force had been damaged in the same fire that took most of my left hand, and sparks of blue light tended to dribble from it whenever I moved my arm around. I had to be ready to use the shield at an instant's notice. It would be the only thing between me and whatever might come rushing from the fog. I went with my staff in my right hand. When it came to taking apart rampaging monsters, I preferred my blasting rod. But I've had an incident or two involving buildings and fire. If I went blazing away at the thing in a crowded hotel and burned the place down, it would kill more people than the rampage would have. The staff was a subtle tool. Not as potent a weapon as the blasting rod, but it was more versatile, magically speaking.